Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Mary Peters. Mary is the administrator of the Federal Highway Administration in the U.S. Department of Transportation. Joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel.
Mary, how does Federal Highway Administration balance the goal of ensuring access and mobility with citizens for protecting the natural environment? There's a clear balance that needs to be maintained. What are the mechanisms you use to do that?
It's a balance that needs to be maintained, and there are some people that think you can either be respectful of the environment or you can build transportation systems, but you can't do both. And I just theoretically disagree with that. I think you absolutely can. What we have to do is recognize and respect the surrounding environment while we are providing important mobility projects. And a phrase that I always like to use in the past is we build transportation projects for the communities we serve, not in spite of them. But we have run into some real bottlenecks in making that happen. The environmental interest on the one side, pulling, taking very long time sometimes to get important projects through, and some very duplicative processes, sometimes unnecessarily duplicative processes. We're very fortunate in that just last week, President Bush signed an executive order on environmental stewardship, which establishes a task force chaired by Secretary Mineta, Transportation Secretary Mineta. This task force reports through the Council on Environmental Quality to the President, and it consists of the secretaries of the Department of Interior, the Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, and a number of other federal agencies that we need to work with to move projects through this very importantly rigorous but unnecessarily time-consuming process of getting environmental clearances for projects. What the executive order and the task force will do is allow us to work together to have more concurrent working of these processes instead of sequential working of them, so that you can at one time go through the various processes and make sure, for example, that we're in compliance with the National Environmental Protection Act or NEPA, that we aren't doing something that endangers air quality or would make air quality worse in certain situations. But you do those things concurrently and consistently instead of separate sequential processes. The task force will have two things it will ultimately accomplish. One is to look for a list of high priority projects throughout the country and focus some time and attention on those projects within the context of the task force to get them unstuck, if you will, and get to decision on the projects. But the other part of it is to look at processes and where we can improve the processes so that we aren't having this unnecessarily burdensome process in moving important transportation projects through. The benefits to the public are going to be relieving congestion, improving safety, making sure that environmental concerns are met and are looked at, but to do so in a much more consistent and much more effective manner than it's been in the past. And I think that's what the President has really asked us to do in all of our programs. What is effective government? That's what our citizens want, and they want it to be results-oriented.
What do you believe to be the time frame where we will see the effects of the task force, that things will be more expedited? How long do you think it will take to start the process of the task force?
We believe that the process will be started by the end of this year. In just a matter of months, we will have identified some projects and some processes to move forward with. And there are some good examples of projects that exist out there right now that we believe we can get early on and get moving very early on so that, again, the public will begin to see results by early next year.
In terms of the second charter of the task force, it was to fix processes or potentially streamline the process, not for the particular projects, but for overall. What are the expectations? I mean, you were, I think, very articulate describing incremental change versus non-incremental change, and I know it takes years in some cases to get these things through the environmental process. Will that be down to days or weeks, or will it be a few less years? I'm just sort of curious.
We believe it will be significantly less time, but one of the lessons we've really learned is there just isn't a magic process by which we can say, well, an environmental impact statement should never take more than 3 years, 2 months, and 5 days, because it depends on the project. What we want to be able to do is to establish timelines for specific projects and then look at how we can improve that. An example I would give you, if we're building a new bridge, we have to go through 9 different agencies and 9 different specific permitting processes before we can build that bridge. I have to think, in fact, I know that some of those are duplicative. So why can't we collapse those down and maybe only have 2 or 3 permits that cover the needs of the Department of Interior, Fish and Wildlife Service, that respect the rivers, that look at endangered species, all of those things? We could probably do that. I'm convinced that we can do that with fewer processes and fewer permits than we have today.
How will the state and local organizations, the state and local departments of transportation, interact with the task force?
They will have the opportunity to nominate projects to the task force, especially if they have projects that either they contemplate doing in the future or currently doing today that they see as being complex and probably a recipe for some of this complexity that I've described earlier. So they'll have the opportunity to nominate projects. They also will have the opportunity to tell us about processes that they would like the task force to look at. But we really do want to go to state and local governments and other transportation industry stakeholders to tell us which projects are most important instead of those of us here in Washington making that determination.
It seems as though industry trends are moving away from constructing new roadways to maintaining and improving existing ones. What management challenges does this shift pose?
It really takes a very different bent on things than what the Department of Transportation in state governments, as well as Federal Highway Administration, have had in the past. In the past, our legacy is building the interstate system, and it's a very, very important accomplishment and one that we don't want to forget. But that isn't what our responsibility is in the future. And I really believe our responsibility in the future is, again, looking at the system from an overall asset perspective, and how do we manage that system so that we get the best value from that system in meeting America's mobility needs and in serving our customers. In the past, we've kind of carved it up into segments: planning, design, construction, maintenance, operation, when in fact we ought to be looking at that whole range of activities as ultimately affecting the outcome of the system and what does it do in terms of providing mobility. That shift is going to cause a shift in how our organizations are actually organized. It's going to cause a shift in the expertise that we need within our organization. Here in Federal Highway Administration, we're no longer about walking projects and measuring the distance between rebar or guardrail. Our processes now have to look more programmatically and more systematically at how the transportation system is operating.
One of the things that's a challenge to that systematic approach are inevitable disasters, evacuations, things of that nature. If we just focus on highway disasters for a second, what actions, what role does FHWA have when there is a highway disaster, and how does it change your relationship with state and local authorities?
The roles that we have are twofold when there is a natural disaster, some incident, a major incident. Through our emergency relief funds, we have the ability to provide extra money to a state or to a locality when they suffer a disaster and need to replace a transportation asset very quickly. We also have the ability to provide expertise. And I think those are the two areas that I think that are most important to us: funding, immediate funding to help them get the transportation system resolved and back up and running, and expertise. We have available within our organization and through networks with other states and other countries, in fact, a wide variety of expertise that can bring new ways of looking at problems and new ways of fixing issues to bear. In Oklahoma, for example, when the I-40 bridge collapsed, we were able to bring in a team of experts from California, from Texas, who had dealt with similar bridge collapse situations, folks that the Oklahoma Department of Transportation wouldn't have had immediate access to, as well as through the president, bring some immediate money to the table so that they could get started right away in rebuilding that important bridge.
And I understand that bridge was completed ahead of schedule and there were some innovative things that took place. Could you tell us about that?
It was completed substantially ahead of schedule. And in fact, under normal circumstances, it could have easily taken as long as 18 months to replace that structure. And that was just unconscionable in a major interstate route. That was completed in just over 60 days. And the way that was done was through some very innovative contracting methods that the state of Oklahoma employed and that we were very pleased to help them identify. One of those was design-build, meaning concurrently designing and building the project instead of sequentially designing, then bidding, and then building the project. Another was incentives, and Oklahoma built in incentives to where the sooner the contractor completed that project, the more money the contractor could make. And when you look at the cost to the economy of that structure being down, that was money that was very well spent. So one of the bidding mechanisms is what we call an A plus B bidding, where the contractor bids both time, which is the A component, and days, which is the B component. And the quicker they can complete the project, the more opportunity that they have to make money. Now, clearly delivering a quality project has to happen along with that. So they have to build in the proper quality and control mechanisms to make sure that we're getting a quality product, but much quicker. In fact, they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week there in Oklahoma to rebuild that structure. Contractor earned incentives, and again, it was worth every penny.
Do you believe that concepts like design build and the incentives and the contracts will work their way into the fabric of other state initiatives and through FHWA into the states?
I very much do. And in fact, right before I left Arizona, we had just completed a major rebuilding of the interstate that ran through the heart of Phoenix, 17 miles of freeway in about 22 months. And it was done without disrupting traffic at all. I was very, very pleased with the project and the way it ran. Federal Highway Administration has an opportunity to take those success stories and spread those out to other states. Many states have now adopted state-level legislation that will allow them to employ tools such as that. And that's part of the value that we can add in sharing those best practices, sharing model legislation, things like that can help states be successful.
What were the barriers that prevented people from doing this before?
In fact, in the past, federal law specifically prevented that. And it was probably through some efforts in the past by industry that didn't want it to happen that way. There was also a belief in the past that if someone designed a project and then built the project, that they would be less apt to call out faults in the design or something of that nature. But we feel there are plenty of ways to ensure that we have a quality product today without having those two separate processes.
That's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Mary Peters of the Federal Highway Administration. This is the Business of Government Hour.